Welcome to the Hey Boomer podcast, the show that inspires listeners to know that they are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. Each week, we have extraordinary guests, thought leaders, and active, engaged people who share their insights with us. This week's show is about Taoism, aging, and caregiving, and our guest, CJ Golden, will talk about her experience with being a caregiver for her husband, who was at one time a long-distance bicyclist. Please join us for this amazing and warm conversation. My name is Wendy Green, and I am your host for Hey Boomer. Hello, Hey Boomer listeners. Welcome to 2021. Yay! I hope you all had a wonderful end of 2020, good holiday time, and have had a wonderful start to 2021. My final blog for 2020 was titled A Good Day. It got so many wonderful comments that if you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to go and look at it on the website, heyboomer.biz. But the main point of it was a reminder that we can find good in any day if we look for it. The truth is, we tend to find what we're looking for. Today, January 4th, 2021, starts season 2 of Hey Boomer. We ended 2020 with 34 episodes in our first season, and we're kicking this season off with a very special lady who I will introduce to you later. We started as a Facebook Live, and now we are also live on LinkedIn and YouTube, and we get all of our audios onto podcast channels like Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast. So be sure to invite your friends to either join us live, to watch any of the recordings, or to listen to us on their favorite podcast channels, especially when you feel like an episode could really be meaningful for them. So as I said, we're kicking off season 2 with a lady who's very special to me. Her name is CJ Golden. And CJ, well, one of the blessings of 2020 has really been, for me, meeting some of the most amazing people that I have been introduced to because of Hey Boomer. CJ is one of those people. And even though we've not met in person, I have to say that spending time with CJ is like a warm cup of tea with honey. It just, being in her presence feels so nurturing. And you'll see what I mean when you meet her. I want to tell you about our New Year's Eve party. We had so much fun. The Hey Boomer folks that came to the party, we danced, we dressed up, we celebrated, we learned about wines, we learned about wine regions, we had good food. Anybody who was at the Hey Boomer New Year's Eve party, give me a hey, yeah. And one of the things that we did at that party was we all came up with our word for the year for 2021. It was a very interesting exercise that we went through. And I have that exercise in a worksheet. And so if you are interested in coming up with a word for yourself for 2021, I would be happy to share that worksheet with you. It really helps you to think through what makes it meaningful and really relevant for you for 2021. So if you'd like to get a copy of that worksheet, just email me at wendy@heyboomer.biz. The only thing I would ask is that you then post a picture of yourself with your word onto the Hey Boomer Facebook page. And that will do two things. It will hold you accountable because now you've professed this to the public. And it also will help to motivate other people as they see the words that we share. I'm going to post mine later today. And I would encourage any of my guests that were at the Hey Boomer New Year's Eve party to also share their words on the Facebook page so that we can all feel motivated and encouraging of each of us as we strive to be the best we can be in 2021. And just a reminder, we love, love, love your comments. I'm loving to see all these comments that are coming in already. So please participate in this conversation, ask questions, share the positives that you're getting from this, and let us hear from you. I will certainly be watching the chat box, and I will share any questions with CJ as they come in. So let me bring CJ on. Hello, CJ Golden.
Hello, Wendy Green.
I am so glad to have you on this show today.
Thank you.
Let me do a brief introduction.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You already make me feel special by saying I'm special, but...
Well, you are special. Like that warm cup of hot tea.
Well, or a bottle of Captain Morgan's or something. Yeah.
In the tea. So CJ Golden has been a speech pathologist, an actor, and she is the author of The Tao of the Defiant Woman and Tao Girls Rule for the Teenagers. And then she followed these books up by becoming a motivational speaker who inspires all with her unique Tao and defiant spirit. She brings the ancient philosophy of the Tao to our modern day culture, and she helps women and girls travel an easier path through life as they find confidence, balance, and boldness in the world of challenges. CJ's latest book, One Petal at a Time, shares her adventure as caregiver to her husband after his cancer diagnosis and subsequent strokes. And it was only in retrospect that CJ recognized her Tao and defiant spirit was what eased her way through the challenges that she faced. And we're going to talk about that. So CJ, first of all, how's Joe doing?
He's good. He's good. He's so good. Yeah. The kids came over on their way from Upper Connecticut to back to their home in Jersey, and they stopped in all masked up and distanced away. And we were discussing Joe's and my upcoming wedding anniversary and remembering that our 25th was in 2016. And that's when he had the diagnosis of the strokes. He had had the diagnosis of the cancer, and 2016 is when the strokes took hold. And, one never knows what the future holds. And the future has been so good to us. And he's doing so well, and he's healthy, and people use this term a lot. We're blessed. I don't say it cavalierly. We are blessed.
You are blessed, and you are a blessing. So let's start with the beginning of your story, because you have reinvented yourself several times.
Yeah.
Can you take us down that journey, please?
From little Karen Jane Febland, who grew up in Long Island. And it helps to wear glasses, doesn't it? Oh my God, that's what you look like. Ah! I was married after my sophomore year of college, graduated after my junior year, and went on to be a speech and hearing therapist, possibly the only one on the planet with a lisp. So all of my kids came out with a lisp. And from there, I decided I was going to be an actor because I had done a lot of local theater and ultimately earned my union cards, worked in New York, not Broadway, off Broadway. Did a lot of soap operas. Do they still have soap operas?
I don't know. I would imagine they do.
Anybody else? Give us an answer.
Do they still have soap operas?
Wow. Moved out to LA, and I went back and forth from LA to New York. I loved the acting. I really did. And I do indeed want to get back into it at some point. I'm waiting for Betty White to retire.
Ah, yes.
I'm coming right into her spot. And that was a wonderful change of pace for me and gave me back myself after I had been through a tough divorce and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I found myself through the acting, really. Again, like I said, I will go back to it. But then I put that acting, whatever acting chops I have, into my writing and public speaking. Mm-hmm. The writing also was a component that had always been there. And I've always been interested in writing truthfully, honestly, and not holding back when I discussed topics that have been helpful to me. Moving from the writing, all of a sudden I'm a public speaker and they call me a motivational speaker, an inspirational speaker. And again, the acting, the comfort in front of an audience, along with whatever I learned when I was a teacher. So everything followed suit. Mm-hmm. It all makes sense. As diverse as it all appears, it all works together. And now I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life at this point, if I wanted to continue writing, if I wanted to be on the speaking circuit anymore. And then here you are back in what, October?
Yeah.
Inviting me to be here today. And that's it. I'm back.
I know. That's been so much fun too, watching you, because you were moving through this whole process.
Oh yeah.
And you kept saying, I'm so excited to get back into the office and start doing things again. So I've loved watching that too.
Thank you. Thank you.
We do have several people say, yes, soap operas are still a thing. So
I'll have to contact some of the old casting directors.
There you go. So tell us about the Tao. When did you discover it, and what does it mean?
I learned about the Tao, which is an Eastern, really a Chinese philosophy. I use it as a philosophy. Some consider it a religion. I learned about Taoism back in college when I was studying comparative religions. And it was interesting, as was the whole course in learning about all the religions out there, and certainly not all of them. When I began writing my book for women, I wanted something that would show us acceptance of what happens in our lives, acceptance of the winding paths that we all travel, acceptance of the good, the bad, and the ugly, so to phrase a corner phrase. And all of a sudden, I remembered Taoism. Had not thought of it, had not thought about it since those college days, and decided to take a trip back in time to my college courses and really study Taoism. I cannot say I'm a Taoist because I don't have enough knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but But I can say that I totally agree with this philosophy that teaches us to be, and please, I know it's going to sound corny, one with the earth. We all are one together with all of life. And when we try to start separating out, things don't work. Life becomes piecemeal.
Yeah, and I heard you use the word acceptance. I think that's another thing that you mentioned in your book, mm-hmm. that accepting the changes, accepting, you know, the realities that we deal with, is that's another part of the philosophy.
That's a major part of the philosophy. Yeah, the word Tao really can't be translated into anything other than, if you're living the Tao, then it is the Tao. Mm. If you're part of the earth, then it is the Tao. And because of that, and due to that, and along with that, there are several principles that we follow. And one is day, T-E. And day is virtue of being the best you that you can be. That's not, oh, pat on the back, I just gave a lot of money to that charity. It's recognizing who you are and living as that person and not crumbling or folding or trying to be what somebody else thinks you should be. That's day. Then we have Zuron. Zuron is of itself so. It's things happen because they happen without us pushing. Mm. And then we have Wu Wei, which is, I think of it as like no way, don't fight against it. Mm. You know, if this hand is here and this hand is here, and you start pushing against, if you have a situation and you're pushing against it, it's not going to work. You have to go with it. And so there be, I get the word Tao, the defiant woman, mm-hmm. being accepting and not being crumbling, but acknowledging. Yeah, I went through a divorce. I accepted it because I acknowledged what was going on in my life. There is heck of a lot of awful stuff going on in the world now. We don't have to accept it in the terms that we think of as acceptance, mm-hmm. but we need to acknowledge what's going on. And in that acknowledgement, we know what to do to help.
Okay, so I was going to ask.
Sense?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about being Tao and defiant, because when I think of defiant, right, I think of pushing against,
like
the description you just gave. And so, how do you blend that to be Tao and defiant?
It depends what you're defying.
Tao and the defiant woman.
Oh, and let me show you the
newest one.
The newest copy. Well, it says five brazen ways to accept what you must and rebel against the rest. If you defy something that's good, that's not a good thing. But if you defy something that is negative, now you have something positive. If you defy negativity, if you defy those things which would bring you down, if you defy those folks who would try to force you to be somebody else,
mm-hmm. okay.
then you're doing something positive. So what? It's a positive defiance, I guess we can. It sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But it's, yeah.
Well, and some of the things you said, like being the best you can be, would mean defying in a sense, or acknowledging that people might want you to be something you're not, but this is who mm-hmm. you are. So I can see it. And the way you explain it in the book, it definitely makes sense. It just seem when you hear the title.
Well, yes, it's and that's why I liked the, I would tell you, it was my first publisher who came up with that title. And I looked at it, I thought, Dow the Defiant Woman. Well, okay, I like the alliteration, but then I recognize how much of what I write in the book has to do with defiance.
Right.
Has to do with defying the world and being who you were meant to be, if the world is trying to keep you from doing that.
And even in fashion, right? You're like, look, some of the stuff that they're putting out that they think older women should wear, it's like, what? No. So you're going to defy that and wear what you want to wear and what you're comfortable
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Funny, my favorite mask now, right along the front of it says, I don't remember the term exactly, but something like, just because I'm an old woman, don't think, you know, don't, and underestimating me because I'm an old woman is your first mistake.
I love that.
But we often underestimate ourselves.
We do often underestimate ourselves.
Our generation, well, I'm half a generation or a full generation older than you are, but our generations grew up that way. We were taught from the get-go as a little girl to be a lady, to do what you need to do to get a husband. I remember being told, don't be smarter than the boys. They won't like that. That's how I grew up.
Yeah, fortunately.
That's what I was taught. And it's only as I started writing the book and started the process of discovery in learning what I needed to know to write the book, did I recognize it's old. It's hogwash.
Yeah. Yeah. So fortunately we've moved on. So your latest book, One Petal at a Time, tells the story of, starts out with Joe's cross-country bicycle trip in 2015. So can you take us from there to what happened?
Yeah, well, Joe was a long-distance cyclist. He's crossed the country on his two little wheels twice. He went from south to north on the Sierra Cascade Ridgeline once. He's done many other long rides. And then the cancer, the leukemia cells attacked his nervous system, central nervous system, and he ultimately had several devastating strokes. Was he going to make it? We're not sure. But he did. But I had been witness to this. I spent every day, almost every night, in the hospital, by his side, learning from the nurses, recognizing his sad days, recognizing the better days. And I had friends and family members who so wanted to know what was going on. And I couldn't write to them each individually, nor could I answer every phone call that came in. And so I started sending out, at the end of a long, arduous day, I would send a blog to everyone. I'd send them an email, but then I would also write a blog about what I learned that day, what I learned about Joe, what I learned about hospital workers, what I learned about medicine, what I learned about myself. And ultimately, people said, this has got to be a book. And I said, okay. And That's what the book is. It's a memoir of, it's all the emails that went out. It's all the lessons that I learned in hope that sharing this as honestly and openly as I did, I will be able to help other caregivers.
And you did share it honestly and openly. I read through this and there were parts of it that I thought, wow, that was really brave of you to express some of the feelings that you had, because they weren't necessarily flattering of yourself, right? But they were so honest. How did you find the courage to express that?
Well, if I was going to write the book, I was going to make it honest. I was going to make it, I wasn't going to do a Pollyanna representation of myself. It wouldn't have made sense. It wouldn't have helped anyone to read, oh, well, Joe almost died today, but oh, well, you know, No, you can't do that. Not if you're writing real. Not if you're writing nonfiction. Not if you're writing to help others. And so it just flows from me. I take the I out of it and I put in the feelings.
And I think it legitimizes the feelings that other people have experienced, will experience, you know, because it is so open and honest. And I think it was tremendously appreciated. And then you also needed some caregiving at one point. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Was that before or after?
That was before.
Okay.
I've had several back surgeries. And all had been successful until we got to the last one. And that was in 2014. I think 2014. I know it was 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago. And the surgery was very successful in that it eradicated the leg pain that had been created by the spine impinging upon the nerve going down my left leg. However, because I have osteoporosis, osteopenia bordering on osteoporosis, after the surgeon closed me up and he had put in screws and nails and, you know, pounded the bones, after he closed me up, a piece of bone went bing and cut into the nerve that goes down my left leg.
Oh my gosh.
Killing it. And it was unbelievably painful, because a dead nerve tries to come back to life. Mine never did. Tries to come back to life, hits this, you know, the center in the brain that's supposed to start operating the nerve, but it doesn't, and it reflects as pain. Mm-hmm. And Joe was wonderful. Boy, did he take good care of me. I was in rehab and the whole deal, but once I came home, and he would bring me my breakfast in bed. He would slather butter on a piece of gluten-free toast. This is slathering butter, folks. I used to do, what do you call it? When you do...
Slathering butter?
Not... I'll come up with that word.
Anyway,
until one morning he walked in and he said, "This is your last breakfast in bed. You're getting up and walking to the kitchen table."
Ta-da.
And he knew just when to do that to me and how to get me to do that. because I could smell the butter on the toast.
Ken says, did you mean miming?
That's exactly, yeah.
Thank you, Ken. So I'm just curious, though, now you both have had the experience of being a caregiver. What have you learned about each other and about yourselves as caregivers?
Well, I don't know that I've learned anything about Joe for him being my caregiver, because he came through the way I know Joe does come through and would come through, with care, with concern, with intelligent actions and reactions, with knowledge. And this is the Joe that I know. And this is the Joe that took care of me. What I learned about myself is that, as Christopher Robin said to Pooh, you are braver than you think you are. You are smarter than you think you are. That always was true. I was able to learn. I was able to do. I was able to stand up to and withstand. And yes, I fell apart a lot, as you read in the book. But I was able to pull myself back. There was a woman in here under this facade that was a hell of a lot stronger than I ever gave her credit for.
That's an important learning, CJ.
It's an important learning. You don't want to have to learn it that way. You want to learn it. You don't want it to be that way.
No, you don't want to have to learn it that way. No. But now you know it.
I know it.
Yeah. And you had mentioned that Joe is now back on his bike, but not the two-wheel bike. Is that right?
He's on a three-wheel, low-to-the-ground recumbent. And even that is difficult. He doesn't have the leg strength to do. We're in Connecticut, so he doesn't have leg strength to do the hills around here. And when we go up to Vermont, he certainly doesn't have the leg strength to do the hills and mountains there. So he had the bike retrofitted with a motor.
Oh, good.
It never really worked correctly. And I am so on his case to get a new bike this spring that comes with the motor on it, that he'll be able to work and use and enjoy without it breaking down.
Yeah. So share with me, at the end here, you said Joe had said something about wanting to go to the beach, and you made this final, well, celebratory trip. And this exactly. has to do with your anniversary too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we had, was it an anniversary? I guess it was. That part I didn't remember. But we had been to, on the West Coast, it's Anna Maria Island, which is just off of Sarasota. And we were there when our youngest daughter got married. And we're not Florida people. I need to say that up front. You're not. Sorry, anyone in Florida who's watching, bless you. Enjoy it. I'm just not a hot weather person. But we loved this little island, which is a throwback to the 50s. It's just wonderful. And lying in his hospital bed, when he was finally able to start speaking, he would say that he wants to go to Anna Maria Island. And I didn't know how I was going to make that work, but I have a very dear friend, very smart friend, who is dealing with the after effects of strokes that her husband has suffered. And I said, how do you go away with him? What do you do? And she gave me all the things that make so much sense. Mm-hmm. Pack your clothing in cartons and UPS them in advance.
Oh, good idea.
Make sure you have, that the place you're staying doesn't have stairs. I mean, this is all common sense stuff that you don't think of everything. The UPS part was brilliant. And with her help and my desire to make this dream come true for Joe, we did it. In the January, as he was still recovering, we didn't need a wheelchair all the time, but he was using a walker. But we also brought a cane for him to start maybe being able to progress to a cane. And we made it. And we got to Anna Maria Island, and we checked in at the hotel, and we walked the half a block to the beach. And I saw him standing on the beach. There's a photo of that in the book.
Yep,
there that is. Was just fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous. That's a great story. And you are braver than you believe.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
We all are.
So talking about dreams, I always like to end my show. And this isn't the end, but I'm switching it up a little bit this time. But okay. I always like to end the interview, let's say, with a quote from C.S. Lewis. And he says, "You are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream." So my question for you, CJ, is what are you dreaming about for the next 6 to 9 months?
My dream, my desire, is to continue that which I have desired. And every year I get a little closer to the goal. I want to resign as manager of the universe. Truly, I want to, even though I understand Tao, I want to even more than I have let things happen and take them as they come and work with what I'm given, both physically, emotionally, mentally, and the scene that I'm presented with. I want to stop designing my world to be what I think it should be. Or if I have hopes, and I do. I have visions, but I also want to recognize that they might not all come true. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
That's a beautiful dream. Now we are dreaming something together.
Mm-hmm.
We thought about sharing with the group to see what they think of this idea. So back several months ago, CJ had thought about starting a podcast called The Caregiver's Bakery. And she had somebody that was going to co-host with her, and that didn't work out. So I was talking to CJ, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks ago. And I said, "Oh, I love doing these podcasts. I'll co-host it with you." So we are now considering doing a podcast called The Caregiver's Bakery, where we will be talking about caregiving, obviously, sharing recipes, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are in the process of seeing how we can work that out, but we would love to hear from you all about your thoughts on that. And if you think that would be something of interest and valuable and useful for lots of people, because that's really what CJ and I are both about, helping people.
Yeah.
So we'd love to hear.
Yeah. The idea being that you can't be caregiver 24/7 and people say, "Take time for yourself." And nobody ever told me how to take time for myself. If somebody had said, "Put a loaf of bread in the oven and bake it," that's something I could do. Mm-hmm. And then sit down and enjoy it. That was something that's something tangible. It gives us time for ourselves to do the baking, the cooking, to make the product. but then to sit down on our own somewhere far away from everyone else in the house and enjoy it. And that's what the hope of the Caregiver's Bakery brings.
And Kathy says she loves your tagline, you can get bitter or you can get better. The choice is yours. Choose wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for being guest today. This has been so good.
This has been a wonderful way to get back into life, other than building a house.
Yeah, that was a challenge for sure. Yeah. So CJ has graciously offered to the first three people that email me, and I'll post that email up here again. So it's wendy@heyboomer.biz. Email me that you would like to get a copy of One Petal at a Time. And she has graciously offered to send that out to you. So all we need is your mailing address, and you can enjoy that wonderful story. So,
and Wendy, may I just insert
my
website?
Yes.
cjgolden.com.
There you go, cjgolden.com.
And from there, you can hop off to the Women Down Defiant, or to the same work that I do, scaled down to 14 to 18 year old girls, and to One Petal.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. So let me tell you about our guest for next week. Next week, we're going to talk about book writing. And on my very first show, I closed with, we all have stories to tell, but do we all know how to tell them in a book form? I certainly have not done that yet. And so my guest next week, her name is Denise Michaels. She's a book coach and a ghostwriter. And she had been working as a marketing trainer for a very well-known writer and seminar guru. And then she realized that a lot of women were fearful about promoting themselves. And so she wrote a book in 2005 called Testosterone-Free Marketing. And that became a fairly popular book. But then a lot of people were saying to her, you know, we need your help. We want to write a book. How did you do it? And so she, in 2015, switched over to becoming a book coach and a ghostwriter. So I know very little about this, and I'm sure there's a ton we can learn from her. So I'm looking forward to that. And I just want to thank you all for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's meet every week to dream, to grow, and to learn. My name is Wendy Green, and this has been Hey Boomer.